Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. As always, I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on a Friday. Congratulations, John. We made it. Made it through the week. I hope everyone out there is having a great Friday or whatever day of the week this is.
We've made it to a Friday and we've got Worm Sign.
We certainly do.
We have a big fat worm.
This might be one of the rare Dune Minute episodes where we start and end by talking about Shai Hulud's.
Outside of our normal Shai Hulud ranking, too.
I know. Well, we don't normally start with a Shai Hulud.
Yeah.
On a Friday episode, but we always end them. So, yeah, it's worms all the way down on this one, John.
Well, I guess we're going more across right now because this worm is barreling across the desert toward Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we left off yesterday with Paul, you know, kind of trying to collect himself and hype himself up.
Yep.
Stands up across the top of the dune and just under his breath, he's like, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, this read to me or sounded to me like he's realizing how big this worm actually is.
He's realizing that urine and feces are processed in the thigh pads.
Right.
Of his still suit.
Yes, those thigh pads are probably getting put to good use right now.
Yeah, certainly.
So we get some really low rumbling as the worm is making its approach. And Paul starts to do the trig comes from out of his head and into his body motion because he starts to, you know, walk along the ridge to line up his shot, basically. In my notes, I put the worm is going to be barreling for the thumper. Mm-hmm. So that's where the mouth will most likely be centered or close to centered there.
Yeah. So Paul needs to be offset from that
a
little bit.
Now, I have to imagine the skill of a sand rider is to be able to gauge at a distance how wide the worm is, which is tough. Yeah, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Because what you need to be able to do is, okay, this worm is, you know, X meters across.
But it's kicking up sand that is X plus, you know,
sure,
however many meters
right
off to the side from it.
Right.
So and you have to gauge, like, all right, how wide is the worm actually versus how wide is the blast radius of the sand as it's, you know, going through the dunes and everything.
So. Yeah. And like, you know, your maker hooks are a certain length, so you need to be, you know, there's a lot of math that you have to do in your head to be able to pick your spot appropriately.
Yep.
And that's what Paul's doing right now. In my notes, I said, you know, you need to at least be half the distance away to either side that the worm is wide.
Yeah.
So if the worm's, you know, 20 meters wide, and it's going to be aiming at that thumper, you need to be at least 10 meters away from the thumper.
Probably closer to 15.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. So, and that's what he's doing. He's gauging the direction and, you know, the angle that the worm's coming at him at and like all these kinds of things. So this is what his training has done or has helped him with.
He's gauging for a little bit and then Worm Sign disappears.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this on your listen, but when it disappears and it fully goes back under the sand, we get that same shifting sands very quickly, mm-hmm, rattlesnake kind of sound.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the worm sign erupts again, much closer. And Paul in turn has to readjust and find, you know, a new place and everything. As the worm is now barreling towards Paul.
Yep.
Cinematography wise, we're going cut to cut to cut to cut to cut right here. We're going from Paul to, you know, deploying his maker hooks to Stilgar standing up, back to the worm, back to Chani, back to Paul, back to the worm, and back to Paul's eyes squinting as he's focusing on all of this.
It's like a classic spaghetti western style cut back and forth.
Kind of. Yeah. It's that action movie, the train is coming, you know, the hero's getting ready to jump kind of sequence and everything. And
right,
you know, Stilgar and Chani are both just like, what the fuck? Yeah. So we get a lot of that. And, you know, whenever we have the cuts to the worm, we have that same, you know, rocket ship jet engine sound that we talked about with David a couple weeks ago and everything.
I specifically said,
but it is much louder this time.
It is. And I specifically called out, it sounds like a World War II fighter plane going past. Yeah. The worm reaches the base of the dune that Paul's standing on. And it immediately takes like a 45 degree angle up and starts barreling directly at him. And we get to see the maw.
Yeah.
Of Shia. Not only
do we get to see the maw, we get to hear the.
Yeah.
Out of its mouth or whatever.
Yeah.
The subtitles call it the roar.
Sure.
But yeah, it's, and like the ground is shaking under Paul. Like you see him for a second, kind of like lose his balance.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
I imagine this worm weighs many tons and as it hits the dune, it's going to shake the fucking earth.
Yeah. What the worm is doing right now is not cresting the dune per se. It is cutting a path through it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to up to the top and then back down the other side. No, it is going. It's just
barreling right through that motherfucker.
Yeah. Like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like a hot worm through sand. So, and at this point, it kind of becomes clear what Paul's objective is. I mean, obviously he's to ride a worm, but what he was doing when he was like lining up his shot is he was trying to figure out at exactly what point and what angle and how far he needs to be away from the worm as it cuts its way through the top of this dune.
Yep.
So that thumper, that Stilgar lovingly tuned, out of here, gone. Yeah, no trace left. So did its job. Slight pause. I always found it to be interesting. Like when the Fremen talk about distances.
Yep.
Specifically like how, like if they have to travel a great distance and it requires, riding a worm, they always talk about it in quantity of thumpers.
Okay.
So like the trip from Siege to Bear to, the Southern Siege, I don't think we get a name for it yet. But they describe that as a 20 thumper trip.
Got to refuel with new worms along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, this thumper did its job. It's gone. The worm is starting to cut its way through the top of the dune. And the last shot of this minute is really a perspective shot.
Yeah. It makes you realize just how tiny Paul is because he is nothing.
No.
Compared to the giant, not even just the worm, but just the giant cutout that we see in this dune.
Yeah. We get like a profile shot of Paul standing on top of the ridge where he's been.
Running.
And then we can see on the other side of the screen, just the massive recession in that ridge that is caused by the worm passing through it. And then last couple seconds of the minute is Paul starting his Tom Cruise run towards
running with purpose.
Yeah. But he's running towards the worm.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to ride the worm by just standing there watching it go by.
That's true. What a good life lesson, you know? You'll never ride the worm if you just stand to the side. So, Paul's objective was to judge where the worm was going to hit the dune, be a relatively safe distance away from that, and then as it is passing through the top, start to fucking run, haul fucking ass.
Send it.
Yeah, towards it. And that's all we get right now.
Yeah.
So we get no worm riding.
No worms indeed.
No worm riding this week, but we do get all of the ingredients for worm riding to happen this week. Talk about blue balls of a bat. We got it again this week, man.
Yep. However, since we're speaking of Shai Hulud, I still would probably give this week at least 6.5 Shai Hulud. If anything, the tension that's being built up for next week.
Sure.
In all those episodes and being able to see this grandfather worm's worm sign off in the distance and the terror that's felt by the Fedaiken as they watch this boy try to ride this grandfather worm as his first worm riding experience. Yeah. It sets us up for a beautiful week with a ton to talk about. as yeah. well.
Yeah, this is a pivotal moment in the story. I think I like this week less than you.
Okay. It definitely could have been condensed down a little bit with some yeah, of the like waiting sequences and everything.
But
it does build that tension.
It does. Yeah. No, it makes for a good action scene. There's no doubt about that. I don't like it because of the things they left out.
That's fair.
The conversations between, or, you know, starting at the beginning where Paul is having his like struggle with his dream and nightmares, so much more beautifully written in the book.
Yeah.
Where we get to see him struggling with time, basically. I love that. It's not relevant to the movie story right now. I understand that. He also just doesn't put a lot of stock in Paul's prescience to begin with.
Yeah. There's not the constant jumping.
Yeah. I don't know. Just that is such an important part of Paul's character that I was really, it's just sad to see it not be in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, you know, and we've not really talked a lot about this, but like what are our hopes for part three? I'm hoping that Paul's prescience and Paul's
memory,
I hope that it plays a bigger part in part three. And I think we're set up to be that way. I'm getting ahead of myself and I'm getting away from the content in the minute, mm-hmm. but I think we've set ourselves up for it being a bigger part. But just right now, there's so many opportunities to show that. And this is a big one. And we so far have not gotten a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll have to do a, when this season is over, we could do a
wish list.
Wish list for Messiah.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, I was going to put it at a 5. You know, this is a pretty middling week to me.
It's still so cool.
It's good. It's
sign and everything.
Yeah. No, I'm not discounting that.
I don't disagree with you though.
Sounds like you do. I'm kidding. No, but you know, so 5 for me, it's kind of a middling week only for what we didn't get.
That's fair.
We could have gotten so much more Alia trash talk.
Well, yeah, I mean that comes with the not time skip that this movie has. I know we'll talk about it more as it becomes more and more egregious near the later parts of this movie. But I don't like the reasoning that the writers gave for not including the time skip. What their reasoning basically was is it loses the tension of the need to quickly get to the Emperor. And I would say that by not having the time skip, it weakens the development of Paul into the Fremen culture.
Yeah, it weakens him as a character.
And it weakens his motivations as well, because with the death of Leto II I, while Paul doesn't necessarily like lose his shit, he does lose a child because of the actions of the Harkonnens.
Yeah. There were ways to restoke that fire and to re-raise the stakes. If they were worried about, you know, the stakes being cooled off in that two year time period.
Yeah.
It was already written down how to get it back.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. I mean, whatever. Yeah. Decisions are made. So, yeah, middling week for me, still good. Any Dune's better than no Dune. So,
well,
even with Prophecy,
even with all Brian books,
I haven't read a lot of them, so I can't really say. So, cool. Yeah, that's where I stand this week.
All right, that's fair. Well, we will be back next week with a very action-packed week. But in the meantime, you can find us online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us as well. Otherwise, we'll see you on Monday when we come back for another week of the Dune Minute.
All right, see you then.
See ya.